Hello, and welcome to the Developmental Edit. I'm your host, Christine, from Last Page Editorial, and I'm here to help you write books readers can't put. Welcome back to another week. I hope you are having a great day wherever you are, whatever time you're listening. And this week, I wanted to get back to what I had originally planned for last week, which was using the Pixar formula to help nonfiction writers. When it comes to nonfiction writing, I want to talk a little bit about the Pixar storytelling structure, but also I want to kind of explain the deeper meaning behind it and why it's really important for nonfiction writers. If you really want to hear the whole explanation, you would need to go back to the, I think it's episode 4, where I talk about the Pixar formula and I approach it from a fiction perspective. But I find that if I listen to things and read things that are not necessarily in my lane, in my space, I'm in my genre or whatever it is, I am learning, and like, you never know where you're going to get a good idea from, you know? So, I mean, I encourage everyone to listen to every episode because they're obviously all amazing and awesome. But if you want to get a basic overview of the Pixar formula in particular, that is episode 4. The basics for a nonfiction writer is this. In the Pixar formula, and you can picture any of the Pixar movies that you want, it literally works for every single one of them. And it's basically also the hero's journey. And if you're not familiar with the hero's journey, you can Google it. There's a ton of information out there, whether it's websites or, I don't know, there's probably TikToks about it, but I'm not on TikTok. I wouldn't know for sure. But there's definitely books about it. But basically the hero's journey is the basic way that structured, like plot has been structured for, I don't know, millennia at this point. But Pixar really does have it down to a science, and it's kind of, it's like weirdly specific and very adaptable. So every time you watch a Pixar movie, you feel like you're watching a totally new story, but really it hits the exact same points every single time. And that's what that episode 4 was about. The gist of it for a nonfiction writer, because you might be thinking, okay, well, that's great, but I'm not a storyteller necessarily. I'm trying to teach someone something, or I'm trying to give them information about this particular issue that we're facing, or I'm trying to help them be able to finally do this in their lives, whatever it is. I still think it's important to understand this just because of the deeper meaning that I'm going to explain after I give you the overview. So in the hero's journey, in the Pixar formula specifically, the main character wants something, but they're having trouble getting it. They've tried things on their own and it's not working. Usually because they're trying things that everybody else is doing and that doesn't work for them, or they're trying to conform and that doesn't work for them. But yeah, so they're trying to do something, get something, achieve something, and it's just not going to work. But then in the second act, or at the end of the first, but it leads into the second act, they meet a trickster character, and it is always a trickster character in a Pixar film, who challenges their worldview because they have a different worldview because of being a trickster. And this helps the main character to grow as a person. And they form sometimes an alliance with the trickster character or something, you know, where they have to help each other. But then eventually it does grow into a friendship and a deeper understanding of each other, which leads into act 3, where there's this big aha moment, this epiphany, this dark night of the soul, where the main character realizes some deep truth that helps them unlock not only what they have dreamed of achieving, but also helps the trickster and mends what is usually at that point a broken relationship between the trickster and the main character. So it's ultimately not about the original thing they thought they wanted. It's actually about this deeper work that they have to do on themselves. And that's what makes the Pixar movies so powerful, in my opinion. And some people think that they're kids' movies, and I don't agree. I think a good story is a good story. So if you haven't watched any Pixar films, I recommend Coco or Wreck-It Ralph, all the Toy Stories. Well, I say all the Toy Stories. I've only seen the first three. So I recommend those. I've heard good things about the other ones, but I'm not going to watch them, and I'll maybe explain that another time. But anyway, so let's see. Zootopia is really good. And I mean, you can take your pick, really. But what was my other one? I have four favorites. Coco. Oh, and Moana, obviously. Duh, sorry. Moana. So I recommend starting with any of those, but I mean, seriously, take your pick. The thing about how this applies to a nonfiction writer is that the person you're talking to, your reader, and I would say audience, but I kind of want to bring it to just say reader, because audiences, the idea of an audience can sound intimidating. One, like if you're shy, if you're an introvert, if you are neurodivergent, if you've experienced, I don't know, shame or trauma in any way, raise your hand. I mean, most of us at some point. And I think the word audience can feel intimidating because who isn't intimidated by standing in front of a bunch of people on a stage with a spotlight on them, which is essentially what it can feel like if people start to pay attention to you, even if you're just writing to an anonymous horde on the internet. But I think if you say reader, it makes it more intimate and it makes it more grounded in a way, because it's not just this massless group of people that you can't even fathom. Like, you don't know how many people are paying attention, and you feel like you're shouting into the void sometimes. But a reader is like a friend. A reader is a person that you know. A reader is a person that you are having a conversation with through your writing. So, I don't know. That's kind of a generalization about those two words, but that's what I'm going to go with for now. So, your reader wants something. If they're reading a nonfiction book, they either want to be inspired by someone's story, like a true story, or they want to learn something, or know that someone else out there feels in a similar way that they do. Or maybe they want to understand how to process something because this other person does understand, but they're farther along the path. And so, you know, they need someone to help guide them through it. Whatever the reason is, your reader wants something, but they are having trouble getting it on their own, and they've probably tried other things. And in fact, to be honest, after they read your book, they are probably still going to go on and try other things besides that. But maybe what you write can be part of their toolkit afterwards. So it's still important to write it because they're going to pick up your book and it's going to hopefully show them something that they didn't already know, that they didn't understand. And at the end of the book, hopefully they will. So they want something. They can't figure it out on their own. They pick up your book, and that's act two. Act one is actually like everything that came before, which you can reference in the beginning of your book. In fact, a lot of nonfiction books structure their books in this way, where here's your problem. This is what you've been up against. This is what you've probably tried, and it's not working, is it? That's act one. Act two is where they meet you. They've picked up your book, and you are that trickster character. And maybe trickster isn't your archetype. We'll talk about that in probably another episode, but they meet you, and you're this person who has new information or a new perspective or a new experience to share that might help them. And just like in the Pixar formula, you're going to be challenging them to change their worldview, to change their understanding, their perception of things, and it's going to challenge them to grow as a person. And then at some point, you've got to go into act three, which is there's going to be some kind of big aha moment that you're leading up to that really helps the person get the thing, like understand the concept you've been trying to explain, and makes them excited about it. It feels like a key that's unlocked something for them. And then they can go on and do what it was they wanted to do, or know and understand what it was they wanted to understand. And as it turns out, it's not really about what they thought it was. It was about this deeper thing. For example, because I know that kind of sounds really esoteric, and especially if you're a very practical person who came to this podcast for practical tips, this might sound a little bit woo and like just not something that you're interested in. And I get that. However, it's important that your story or your book that you're writing isn't just do this, step one, step two, step three. It has to matter to them. And in order for it to matter to them, your readers, it has to matter to you. And they need to understand that, and they need to know why. So I would say the first thing you need to know if you're going to be writing a nonfiction book is, why are you writing this nonfiction book? Because if you're just writing it, I mean, if you're writing it to become an influencer, if you're writing to establish yourself in a niche or in a certain industry or whatever it is, like, go for it. That's awesome. But if it's just, if you're in it for you to become an influencer, if you're in it for you to do whatever it is, one, I think you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not going to connect with your reader and you're not going to get to explore what it means to really help somebody else. Two, I don't really think we're a good fit. You can totally listen to my episodes, but I just don't think that we would work well together because I think it's about something deeper than that. Because just like in the Pixar formula, as an example with this podcast, you've come here thinking you want to learn tips about writing. And I want to help you become the best writer you can possibly be so that you can write books readers can't put down, so that we're all connected in this big web of awesome and they're learning things and enjoying things that they never imagined before that you created and I got to assist with and help with. And like, how incredible is that? That's what excites me. That's my why. And you need to know what your why is, because if you're in it for surface level reasons, you're going to get surface level results. You're going to get surface level readers. You're not going to make that connection. So you came here because you wanted to become a better writer, or you wanted to get some tips to help you work out a certain problem that you're facing when you're writing your book. And I'm this trickster character who's coming in and challenging you maybe to change your worldview a little bit, to broaden your perspective, to go deeper with things and grow as a person, because I know that this creative process that you've chosen to embark on is not necessarily about the book itself. It's about who you are and what you're contributing and how you're connected to everybody else. And it's about probably a lot of other things too, but that's my perspective on it. So that brings me to my next thing. Whatever you're writing about, if you're a nonfiction writer, when you tell people about this idea that you have, these ideas that you have, that you are now thinking of putting into a book, do you tell them like the whole thing? Do you just dive into the deep end with them? You might. I mean, I do that sometimes. Doesn't always go over well, but I like to go into the deep end. But most people just want at a party, at a dinner, at a family thing, like people don't want to dive into the deep end. They just want like, okay, so what are you doing? What is your idea about? And the thing is that people think they want one thing. They want this easy step one, step two, step three, and then that's it. But really what they want is actually something deeper, or I don't know, more intense, usually. I mean, take for example the life-changing magic of tidying up. Everybody read it like when it was in its heyday. It's still a good book. I still enjoy it, even if you don't agree with everything she said. And it's because people thought they wanted cleaner houses, tidier homes, like less mess, less chaos. But her perspective was so different that it challenged people. And then people became like really interested in her view of things and changed what they were doing. And maybe it worked for some people and not everybody, and that's fine. Maybe some people changed their minds after a while, and that's fine too. But it was definitely something that changed people because it wasn't really about cleaning. It wasn't really about tidying up or having less clutter in your house. It was about appreciating the things that you have and not feeling like you had to have more in order to enjoy your life and learning how to let those things go. So you need to figure out your why, and then you need to figure out what people think is true about this, or what they want, or what they need from this topic you're teaching about or writing about, whatever, sharing. And what it's really about. And you can even do a fill in the blank exercise. You could say, people think they want this, fill in the blank, but what they really want is actually this other thing, fill in the blank. And feel free to write as much as you want. You could write paragraphs in those blanks, but really get into like, people are getting this wrong, and here's why. It's because they think it's this, but it's actually this. And I know this because, and you can fill in that blank too. If you know your why, and if you know the deeper work that's involved, you're going to have a great book. It's going to elevate your work immeasurably. I am a big believer that books should have substance. If I wanted to read something that was easy, I could just scroll and find something in 5 seconds. There are books that we read to feel cozy and comforted, but I would rather read a book that was written by an 80-year-old grandmother who's really seen some shit and been through it than someone in their early 20s who wants to be an influencer and is going to write a book and put it up. There's going to be a difference in substance. There's going to be a difference in perspective for sure, but it's like what you can sink your teeth into and what just kind of melts in your mouth. I once read a book because it was given to me because someone wanted me to review it, and they sent me a free coffee. And I was excited because that was the first time that had ever happened. And I was like, oh my gosh, sure, awesome. Thank you so much. And then I got their book and I read it, and it was a lot of fluff and it was a lot of little things strung together, but it didn't really make me feel anything. It didn't really speak to me on a deeper level. It was very surface level, and it had a picture of a cupcake on the front, and I thought that was a really actually a good choice because it was very sweet and delicate and sugary and instantly gone and didn't provide much nutrients, which sounds harsh, and I'm not gonna like go into it even anymore, but other people loved it. I looked it up. Other people really loved that book. They were leaving really good reviews. And I don't know if it's just because they really did like it or if it's because they want to be a part of the book community on social media, and so they were just going for it. I don't know. So some people might love stuff that I don't really care for, but I know that what I care about is stuff that has substance. I'm not saying that every 80-year-old grandmother has wisdom to share that I would want to read. There's some that I probably wouldn't want to read. And I'm not saying that a 20-something TikToker doesn't have wisdom, because they can. And I'm sure a lot of them do. It's mainly the kind of, it has less to do with age, I guess, than it does, I guess it comes back to your why. Like, why are you doing it? People who really want to help others, people who like to think about stuff on a deeper level so that they can figure it out for themselves and then share that with other people. Those are my kind of people. That's the people I want to read. So I hope that those exercises that I gave you could be helpful. And I will be coming back soon with some more ideas for nonfiction writers. And I have some more ideas for the fiction too. It's going to kind of go back and forth, I think. If you have any questions or any topics that you would like covered, anything that you're struggling with in your writing, please hit me up and I guess DM me. I've never said that out loud. That's so weird. Sorry. I'm an elder millennial, and this is like, I don't speak the language anymore, I find. If you have anything you would like help with that you have questions about, whether it's writing or creativity, whatever it is, let me know. And I will try to get back to you about that. Maybe in a podcast episode, maybe in a message. I don't know. But yeah, you can find out all the information about my services for editing, developmental editing, on my website, lastpageeditorial.com. And you can connect with me on Instagram at lastpageeditorial. Thank you for listening. I know this has been rambly. I've been doing this new format where I just have a few notes and then I talk. I kind of like it, but it's also terrifying. So who knows? I don't know if I'll keep this up. We'll see. But thank you. If you found something helpful, I'm very glad. And if you did, please share it with somebody else. Please leave a review, like, follow, subscribe, whatever, click a button. Please don't put notifications about me on your phone. That's fine. You don't need to. Like, I don't need to interrupt your life. You could just come back whenever you have time and listen, and that's fine too. Yeah, I appreciate you. I'm glad you're here. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you understand why you're doing things and that it lights you up and makes you excited about sharing it with others. So go write something, write anything you want, as long as it makes you feel lit up from the inside. Does that make sense? Okay. Have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you again soon.
This is the end of the show. I hope you liked it. This is the end of the show. I hope you found it somewhat helpful. And if you have any questions or you just like to connect, I'm on Instagram at lastpageeditorial. Have a great day.